Let us all pray. For the joy thy birth doth give me, for thy holy precious word, for thy baptism which doth save me, for thy gracious festal board, for thy death the bitter scorn, for thy resurrection morn, Lord, I thank thee and extol thee, and in heaven I shall behold thee. Amen. The word which we shall read and consider, I want to thank Dr. Running for his indulgence, letting me preach on a Christmas text, since we have no opportunity here during that season. The word is from our Christmas text, Luke 2, 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This is the text. Fellow redeemed, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Luther once said that the greatest martyr in our Christian vocabulary and life is the Lord's Prayer, because so few people pray it properly. 300 years later, Henrik Ibsen, in his play Brand, offered a different candidate for martyrdom, the word love, which is used so often by Christians and cherished by Christians and yet so seldom really understood. He said in this play, there's not a word so much abused and by the world at large misused as that which men call charity. Men use it with satanic skill to veil the weakling's lack of will, to make of life, even at its best, what joking actors treat in jest. I suppose there would be none of us, perhaps, who would want to contest with Luther or with Ibsen. But I think I would. Today, I think there is another martyr in our entire Christian discourse. The most tortuous, tragic martyr of all. That little word, peace. Peace, which gives us the whole message of Christmas and certainly the message of our text today. Peace. What distortion, what misuse, what rejection this word suffers today. A few weeks ago, a few of us, as you know, were on a wonderful trip to the Holy Land. When we arrived there and disembarked from the plane and walked into the terminal, there greeted us in the terminal of the airport, in sprawling, gigantic Hebrew script, the word Shalom, peace. The word was an irony, because there is no peace of any kind in Israel today. Hasidic Jews stand at the Wailing Wall and lament and mourn the fact that their temple was destroyed 2,000 years ago, and they don't know where the Holy of Holies is, and they don't know where their God is. Armed soldiers, always in twos or threes, patrol the Arab sections of all the streets of Israel with loaded machine guns, and their ubiquitous Jeeps prowling the countryside looking for trouble. All the time on every Arab face, hatred, resentment, fear. A little girl, an Arab girl, was killed accidentally by a gun of a soldier in the Golan Heights the day we traveled through there. I don't think I saw five or six Jews in that entire country smile during the entire week we were there. The morning we're going to leave, my wife and I and my son and his wife went into a little sidewalk cafe for a glass of beer. And a pleasant man came up to us with the greeting, of course, Shalom. A greeting which had become pretty empty and meaningless by that time. Shortly thereafter, maybe 5 minutes, three enormous, blonde, Finnish soldiers from the UN, also armed to the teeth, walked in and had their beer, and of course, the same old greeting, Shalom. Peace. The word is plastered over the billboards of Israel, probably over the whole world. The word is found in the conversations of people, and yet nobody knows what it means. And nobody knows where to find it. Not the Jews, not the Arabs, Muslims, not the perishing secular world, not even many Christians. Where is peace to be found? Well, not in the rubble of a temple lying under a mosque in Jerusalem. And not in the barrel of a gun. And not in Zionism or millennialism or Islam or socialism or social gospelism or communism or yuppieism or second baptismism or nirvana or Mormonism or dope or drink or sex or rock music. Where is it to be found? Certainly not in any of those or the many other myriad false gospels of peace in this day of ours. Where then do we find true, lasting peace? You know, don't you? In Jesus. In Jesus alone. And that little baby whom we worship in this Christmas season. That little baby in the manger in Bethlehem, whom the angels celebrated and proclaimed at his birth to all the world, peace. That's where we find peace. There's a hymn, a beautiful old Danish hymn, which we used to sing at home when the children were with us. It speaks of this peace found in Jesus. In Jesus, I find rest and peace. The world is full of sorrow. His wounds are my abiding place. Let the unknown tomorrow bring what it may. There I can stay. My faith finds all I need today. I will not trouble borrow. O Jesus, I must now confess, the world hath but vexation and anguish, sorrow, deep distress, as is thy declaration. In thee is peace. And sweet surcease, thy bosom is my resting place where I find consolation. Yes, we can find peace in Israel today, even in war-torn, militant Israel, even there. But we can find peace there only where Jesus has been and where Jesus is. We can find peace only if we find Jesus there. We can find peace, as I know our tour group found it, in that little manger in a cave underneath the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, where his dear Virgin Mother and Saint Joseph wrapped him in swaddling clothes and worshiped him, who was their Savior. And the Savior of the whole world, as the angel had said. And we can certainly find peace in the fields of Bethlehem, although they hardly exist anymore because of all the Jewish condos going up. But we can find peace there, not by looking, but by listening. Listening once again to that heavenly choir sing that great hymn of praise to God and that declaration of peace to all the world. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. What is this peace which the armies of heaven proclaim and celebrate at Jesus' birth? Well, I'll tell you what it is not. It is not the shifting joy resulting from some sort of alleged second baptism. And it's not some emotional experience held out, almost commanded by pietists and Arminians and by the myriad other secular and religious panders of false peace in this day of subjectivistic madness. It's not a philosophy. It's not a mindset. It's not mental health. It's not a feeling of well-being. It's not a disposition, a sensation, an emotion, a sentiment. It's nothing like that. It's nothing in us at all. It's God's peace. It's a peace which God Himself has once and for all established between Himself and this entire human race of lost sinners. God is no longer angry with us. He is at peace with us for the sake of that little child lying in the manger. That little child who was proclaimed by God Himself through the prophet to be the Almighty Father, the Prince of Peace. That little child who is the only peacemaker that this world will ever know. That little child who is named at his birth Jesus, Savior of the world, peacemaker. That little child who turns the heart of very God and changes God from an angry judge into a loving father, as Luther used to say. That little child, that baby whom God gave to us to love us and to live and to suffer and to die for us and thus to become our propitiator, the propitiator for all our sins and for the sins of the whole world. And so God is at peace with us and with all the world. God is reconciled. That's the peace of which the heavenly host sang in that lonely field of Bethlehem. The angelic words of peace are infinitely more than some pious, empty hope like shalom in a Tel Aviv airport. It's much more than even an angelic doxology. It's more than a declaration of God's love and grace. It's more than even an angelic, inspired, inerrant exegesis and commentary on the incarnation of the Son of God. The words are a divine declaration. They are a divine absolution. God's own objective justification of the entire world of sinners. Our warfare is over. Our iniquity is pardoned. That's what the words mean. That's what the peace of Christmas is. And so let us, Advent, Christmas, all through the years of our lives, celebrate this peace with the words of the angel by singing, "Glory to God in the highest." And then let us declare this peace throughout our lives of long and rich ministries with the words of the angels, "Peace, peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.